a little bit at Matthew chapter number 26 and 28. Matthew chapter number 26 and 28. And then we're going to look at Luke chapter 24, starting at 46. And then we'll go over to Acts 2 and 38. All right? So we're going to look at Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 28. Now this was Jesus when he was partaking of his last meal with the disciples before his death on the cross. And they title it, or they call it, the Last Supper, so, you know, if that's what you want to call it. But it's important to note what Jesus was doing when he was partaking of this last meal with them. According to the scripture, he says he broke bread and told them, "This broken bread represents my body." As I often remind you when we're teaching this lesson, that when you think about the broken body of Jesus, or you think about that bread, if we put all of the pieces back together again, we get a whole. But we break that piece of bread up to remind you and I that we are a part of the whole. We are a part of the Lord's body. Paul went so far to teach us that in the Gospels, when he said we are members, many members, but of one body. So that bread represents that body of the Lord Jesus. And then he says the wine or the cup. He says that wine represents his blood, that blood which was shed for many. In the Old Testament, according to scripture, it says without that shedding of blood is no remission. So when Jesus comes into the New Testament and he sheds blood, first of all, John identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus shed that blood to remove sin from humanity, or from those that desire to be free from sin. So that's why we wanted to look at that verse in Matthew chapter number 26 and 28 this morning, where it says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament." New Testament is an agreement or a contract. He said, "This is my blood of the New Testament." In other words, it's not the blood of a sacrifice. It's not the blood of a pigeon or a calf or another lamb. Jesus said, "This is what? My blood." That's truth. This is the blood of God himself. God is a spirit. Spirits have no blood, no shape, no form. And in order to pay redemption's price, blood had to be shed. Everyone born after Adam was born after the similitude of Adam. They were born in the same state or the same condition. So the only one after Adam was the one that was before Adam. He had no sin. And because he had no sin, he was the only one fit to shed blood. Everybody else's blood was tainted. But God's blood was not tainted. That's why he could not send another representative. When you think about the concept of a testament or an agreement, according to the book of Hebrews, you can't go into another agreement unless someone from the old one dies. Without that testament or that contract is not enforceable. So God couldn't send another representative to start a new agreement. He had to come do it himself. That's the truth. So Jesus is not a representation of God. He is God himself. That's the only way a new testament or a new contract or a new agreement can come and have power or force. That's why the scripture says, Jesus says, "This is my blood." Now remember, in the Old Testament, when they signed that old agreement, Moses did it with the blood of lamb. And he took the hyssop plant and dipped it into the basin. And he sprinkled not only the law, but also the people. And this was the contract. That was the signature that these people had joined in agreement with God himself. And then you look into the New Testament. In order for you to come into contract with God himself, you need blood. That's the truth. So God shed his blood on Calvary to redeem us or to remove sin from us. That's why you cannot go down in the water in any other name. There's no other name that represents the blood but the name of Jesus. That's why we go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, because his name represents the blood. We're joining into contract with God himself. When you go down in that water, you're joining in a contract with him. That's why the scripture says you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. What price have you been bought with? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has purchased you. That word redeemed means to buy you back. The enemy, sin, you were sold under sin. But God himself shed his blood to buy us back. That's why I love Matthew chapter number 26 and 28, where he says that this is what? My blood. Of a what? Of a new testament or a new agreement, which is shed for who? That's truth. Why is it shed for many? For the remission. You don't want to devalue that word remission. Many people, they say, oh, well, I go to church or I read my Bible. I'm a good person. You know, I treat people fair. I listen to gospel music. I do the things that I'm supposed to do according to the word. All of that is nice. All of that sounds real good. But you realize if you still got sin on you, none of it even matters. Because all Jesus sees whenever you do a good thing, all he sees on your life is sin. And the wage of sin is death. So when Jesus is telling you he shed his blood for the remission, what is he trying to tell you? He's trying to say, I'm removing death from you. If the wage of sin is death, and I'm born in the state or the condition of sin, I need the blood to remove sin from me. That's why that word remission is so important, because remission means to send away or to remove. You need the blood of Jesus to send sin away. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much of the scriptures you know. I don't care how many you can quote the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. If you still got sin on you, you've got the wage of the payment that you must deal with. You've got to deal with sin's habit, sin's guilt, sin's penalty, and sin's dominion. All of that is controlling you because of that nature, that state that you're born in. That's why it's a blessing to be able to say you went down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that name removes sin from the soul. You can't help but do wrong when you're in sin. I think I was reminding her, talking about that this morning. You can't help. People can't help. They'll start off doing good, but then all of a sudden the real them will come out. And it's because of that sinful nature. You know, I don't care. They can start off being real nice and pleasant, talking nice and kind, but something inside of them changes real quick. And you say, wow, you like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You know, I don't know what to make of you. One minute you in and 1 minute you out. Well, they're trying to let you know they are out of control. The wicked are like the troubled sea, whose waters cannot rest. Their lives cast up nothing but mined dirt. Scripture says there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Jesus came to deliver us from that wicked nature. That's why you thank the Lord for the truth. You thank the Lord for the mind to focus on what's more important. You know, you can go through the scriptures and talk about this and talk about that. But when you're born in sin, the only thing that matters to you is how to get out of that, how to be free from that. And nothing can free you from sin but the blood of Jesus. You thank the Lord you had a mind to want to get into that blood, right? Not just talk about it, not just sing about it, not just read about it. That was a good song we sang on this morning. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. That's a good song. But it doesn't mean anything if you haven't gone down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're not associated with the blood. Blood ain't got nothing on you. You don't have anything in the blood. Blood ain't on you, and you're not on the, in the blood. And because you're not in the blood, you have to be condemned. Scripture says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are what? Condemnation is sin judgment. There is therefore now no sin judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. See, you've got to be in Jesus. In order for the blood to benefit you, you've got to be in Jesus. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How should we that are dead to sin continue any longer therein? Question you should ask yourself is, how did I die to sin? Know ye not as many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? We are buried with him by baptism. You've got to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ to get into the death of Jesus, right? Not just his death, but also his resurrection. Death, burial, and his resurrection. You got to go down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ. You can. There is no substitute. There is no other way. Scripture said that people are going to be trying to climb in another kind of way, but you are nothing more than a thief and a robber. Jesus says, I am come that you might have life. He's trying to get you and I out of sin so that we can live, right? That's why I love the thing this year. Jesus is the giver of life. He has come that you might have it, right? That's the truth. But you've got to get up under that blood in order to live. Got to get up under that blood, and you got to appreciate that blood. You got to know what that blood is doing for you. That blood is remitting or removing sin. Huh? That's right. You got to let it do it. You got to let the blood do the work. Huh? That's the truth. And you can't go through no programs and try to do it yourself. You need to let the blood do the work. That's why folks don't like to tarry at the altar. That's why they don't want to call Jesus. Because it means that you are not doing the work. It's the Lord's name. His blood is doing the work. That's why you thank the Lord. The Lord's got people around you that if you really want to be saved, Lord will put you around somebody that know the significance of the name. It's not about doing this and doing that, but you need to call on the name. It's his name that represents the blood, right? You need to invoke that name of Jesus. That name is a cleansing agent. That's the truth. You call on that name, it cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Cleanses you from all of the impurities of the flesh. Huh? That's it. That's it. All of those toxics that are a result of the nature that you're born in. The name of Jesus does that for you. That's the truth. He that had this hope, scripture say, purifies himself. Well, how are you purifying yourself? You're using the blood of Jesus. You need his name to do that. That's the truth. Folk may call you crazy every time you turn around. You're calling Jesus because his name delivers me. It delivers me not from you, but from me. The no good thing that is within me. His name delivers me from me, right? That's the truth. Well, Paul said, I know that dwelleth in me is a no good thing. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Nobody but Jesus. I thank God through Jesus. I got the victory, right? You're not delivered from yourself or from sin because of how much you know, because of what you got in the bank account, because of who's your friend. You're delivered because of the blood of Jesus. He gets all of the credit. He gets all of the honor. He gets all of the glory. He ain't going to share that with nobody else. Come on, go over to Luke chapter number 24. Starting in verse number 46. Mm-hmm. Yes. 46. Yes.
Then it reads, and said unto them,
yes. That's right. Now remember, what scriptures did they have? They didn't have no New Testament. They were living that. They didn't have that. All they had was the Old Testament, meaning the scriptures from Genesis all the way to Malachi. So when you're reading, when it says, thus it is written, they're talking about the Old Testament. And what did they say in the Old Testament? Thus it behooved Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. Huh? The one that Isaiah talked about. What did Isaiah say? Therefore, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Government should be upon his shoulder. His name should be called what? Wonderful. Counselor. The mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace, right? That's the Old Testament prophecy concerning Messiah, right? Come on. Also concerning his death. David wrote about his death. David said that Messiah was going to be on that cross and was going to be crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Huh? You say, well, who was Jesus talking to? Remember, Jesus, both God and man. God cannot stand the presence of sin. He wants nothing to do with sin. Huh? Therefore, he made himself a body. A body to be the sacrifice for sin. Huh? That body, since its inception, only knew what it was like to have God inside of it. Huh? Come on! That body only knew what it was like to have God inside of it. It didn't know any other kind of way. That's why when that body, when God in that body could see the future, huh? Could feel the future. When God was in that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew the pain and the agony that sin was going to bring. That's when that body said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. That's when God kicked in. God kicked into that body and said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Huh? God on the cross, being whipped, being ridiculed, being spat upon. Huh? Then he takes on all of the sin of the world. God steps out of that body. That body begins to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He tells you why he got out of him. He said, because you're holy, right? Huh? God got out of that body because he's holy. He wants nothing to do with sin. If he don't want nothing to do with sin in his own body, what makes you think he's going to tolerate it with you? Huh? What makes you think you stand a chance when you come before the righteous judge who's going to judge you by the standard of righteousness that you're going to get by with a little bit of sin? Huh?
Thank you, Jesus.
And they say, well, why we got to come to church so much? Because you got to work on you. You got to work on you. You got to work on getting all of that stuff out of you that's not like Jesus. Why? Because one day he is going to call and you're going to have to give an answer, right? But to give an account for what you've done in his body. Whether it's good, bad, acceptable, or unacceptable. You're going to have to answer. Huh? In that day of judgment, some are going to be unjust. Some are going to be filthy. But look what the righteous judge say. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. We want to wind up on the other side. When the Lord say, he that is righteous, huh? Let him be righteous still. And he that is what? Holy. Huh? Come on. The blood of Jesus Christ is striving to make you holy. Huh? Holy in your walk. Holy in your talk. Holy in your thinking. Huh? Holy in the way you treat one another. Huh? The Holy Ghost got a job to do. And you need to move yourself out the way and let Jesus do the work, right? Let him make you who he desires for you to be. God got out of that body. That body cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Huh? And he tells you the reason. He says, because he's holy. He said, they look at me and laugh. Huh? That's the truth. My heart melts like wax, meaning the blood is getting all out of his body. Then when God is getting, that body is getting ready to taste death. Huh? That's why I tell you, God don't die. But how did he do? How did he just taste it death? And how did he taste death? He tasted it through the body of Jesus. Huh? When you're looking at Jesus, you're looking at God. He is the image of the invisible God, right? Huh? That's why when that body tasted death, all the creation groaned. Huh? There was controlled darkness. Huh? The earth began to quake. Huh? But then you got someone on the side of God himself that wanted to be spared. The other one didn't want to be spared. The other one was an unbeliever. He says, if he's God, let him save us and save himself. Huh? Many people walk by him mocking him. He could help others, but he could not help himself. Huh? But Jesus said, to this end was I born, that I might bear witness of truth. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life, right? That's the truth. That's why when that repentant thief said, did he look at that other thief? He said, don't you fear God? Here you are talking about him, and you know he's being punished with us, knowing the horrible things that we did, and he did none of these things. Yet he is on the cross right with us. Huh? And they're doing to him worse than they did to us. Huh? They didn't put a crown of thorns on our head. Huh? They did not pierce us in our side. Huh? But he did this all because he loves you, right? Huh? They did not part our garments, but they parted his garments. They gambled with his clothes. Huh? While the other ones had clothes on to cover up their nakedness, they stripped Jesus naked. Huh? Come on, saints. He's been all of this for you, right? Just to show you how much he loves you, right? Pierced his garments. Pierced him in his side. Punctured his bladder. Oh, yes, they did. That's why the scripture says that water and blood. They punctured his bladder. And water and blood came all down his side. Some people say, oh, I've got to do it on the baptism. Nah. Just stick to what it says. They pierced him in his side. And blood, meaning his bladder, was pierced. And blood came out. Why did they do that? Because they wanted him to suffocate. They wanted him to die quickly. Little did they know they were only fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. Huh? He said, my heart melts like wax. Meaning he had no more oxygen in his body, right? Huh? Poured out all of his blood. Huh? But then that repentant thief started crying out to Jesus. Said, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Huh? Jesus stopped the death process. Do y'all understand that? I'm trying to tell you how close he was to death. He stopped the death process and had enough strength to speak to that thief and say something very important. When I come into my kingdom, I will remember you. This day you'll be with me in paradise, right? Huh? This day, not tomorrow. This day, you'll be with me in paradise. Job had the same prayer. Job said, hide me in the secret place until your wrath pass. And do what? Remember me. Huh? So now you got Jesus on that cross saying it is finished. Huh? Meaning he paid sin's price. It is finished. Scripture said he gave up the ghost and he dropped his head and died. That body died. Huh? God did not die, but that body died. What happened to God? He went down to the lower part of the earth. How did he do it? He did it through Jesus. Huh? How did he get into paradise? Through Jesus, right? Through Jesus. Went on down there and preached to them souls. Scripture says that when Jesus died, immediately the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints, they rose. Huh? They just got to get up by themselves. No. According to the scripture, Jesus Christ is the first fruits. He led them bodies up out of the grave. Huh? In other words, he kept his body in the tomb, but he led those bodies up out of the grave. Huh? And then that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Oh, just like Jonah was in the heart of the well for 3 days, he said, I'm going to stay in the earth for 3 days. Huh? And sure enough, when it was time for him to get up, God got back up into that body. He did not let that body see corruption. Huh? That body did not decay. It did not stink. It was fresh, right?
Hallelujah. Huh?
Did not allow that body to see corruption. But got right back up into that body. Then when he got up into that body, he moved the stone out of the way. Huh? Moved the stone out of the way. The timing of Jesus is so perfect. He knew that the women were coming back to prepare spices to preserve his body. Huh? But what did he do? He went into the garden. Huh? And when they were coming in there crying, ooh, 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 ooh. Said, why are you crying, women? Huh? And one woman says, don't you know what has happened? Where are you? Must be a stranger. All of the horrible things that have happened in the land, and you're wondering why are we crying? But then God called that woman by her name. Huh? Said, Mary. Huh? She stopped what she was doing. Huh? That lets you know when he got in his glorified body, the people could not recognize him. He looked different. Huh? Come on, it's true. I'm trying to tell you, when you get in your glorified body, you're going to look different, right? You're not going to be the same, right? Huh? That's all of my point of time. I'm like Job. I'm just waiting for the change. Huh? Come on, what are you doing while you're waiting? I'm calling on Jesus. Huh? I don't want to miss the rapture for nobody. I'm calling on Jesus. I'm setting my affections on things above, not on things of this earth, right? One day Jesus is just going to appear, right? And I want to see him when he shows up, right? I don't want to miss the rapture for nobody. I don't have time to play games. Don't have time to follow politics and the movements of the land. My mind is on Jesus. Huh? Come on, saints. Your mind has got to be fixed on Jesus. You can't let those that don't have a mind sidetrack you. You've got to keep your mind fixed on the coming of Jesus, right? I'm a fool enough to believe that the Lord is going to come during a day and an hour when people are not looking. And we are about there right now. People are paying attention to everything but Jesus. Look at the household of faith. Huh? Look at it. Look at it. You're not the only ones that have come through these doors. These seats will be filled. But people just cannot stick with it. Huh? They let this wilderness gobble them up. Huh? They let this wilderness sidetrack them. Huh? They let the world fool them to make them think it's something else out there. But there's nothing but death. Huh? Nothing but death. Comes in many forms, but it's nothing but death. That's why I thank Jesus you got a mind. Thank the Lord you got a mind. Got a mind to want to live. Want to live and want to do right. Huh? Want to behave yourself right. Huh? Got a mind to want to live by the scriptures. Huh? I'm not looking for another book. This book is sufficient. This book tells me all about myself. This book pulls the covers off of my shortcomings. It lets me know where I'm struggling even before I get in it. He lets me know where I'm going to struggle at, right? But he also gives me help. He also gives me an escape plan, right? He gives me a way to remedy this stuff. Huh? That's why you got to pay attention to the scripture. Huh? That's why I love what you got to gave you all the old. But then when you coming over into the new, Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 21, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. See, with the mission of Jesus. The mission of Jesus was to do what? Save. Save the people from what? From sin. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. What prophet? Isaiah. Huh? What did Isaiah say? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Huh? And call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God is with us. Huh? That's why we call Jesus God. Because he is Emmanuel. Meaning he is God with us, right? He's not a representation of God. But he is God himself. God with us. Huh? That's why we go down proudly. In the name of Jesus Christ. We bring an end to the life of sin, to the desire to sin, all because we pay attention to the name preached. Huh? As we look at Luke, I didn't lose it. Didn't lose it. Luke chapter number 24, verse number 47. Didn't lose it. What does it say there? Luke 24:47.
And it reads, it says here,
That repentance. See, how do you bring a stop to that life of sin? You've got to repent. That word repent means stop. Huh? Change the way you're thinking. Huh? Get rid of the stinking thinking and stop thinking like Jesus. Setting your affections on things above. Keeping your mind on Jesus. Huh? You don't struggle living right when you keep your mind on Jesus. I can conclude. When you struggle with holiness, it's because your mind is not on Jesus. When you keep your mind on Jesus, his yoke is easy, right? His yoke is easy. His burden is light. What is his burden? Holiness. Huh? He put that burden on you to live right. The burden of holiness. Huh? That's the truth. Is holiness a burden? Yes, it is. Once you come on over into holiness, you just got a burden on your back. Everywhere you go, the Lord is reminding you, you got to live right. Huh? You on your job with a whole bunch of sinners. Huh? Folk ain't got no mind to live right, but you got the burden. Huh? Lord, don't let you be at peace. Huh? When them folk get the murmuring, complaining, talking about they're going to do this, you feel a weight on you. What weight? The Lord said, you got to live right. But Jesus, they not doing it. You got to do it, right? You in the grocery store. Folk get to complaining and murmuring. And you be wondering, maybe I should say something too. But then the weight get a little heavy. Lord say, shut your mouth. Remove that murmuring and that complainer. You find yourself. You say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Help me to get myself right. But you be honest with yourself. You feel it. You feel that no good thing fighting inside of you, but you got the burden, right? You got to live right. Folk do you wrong. You feel that anger rising up inside of you. You know what you could say, and you know how to say it. You know what it sounds like. Huh? But the burden, it shuts your mouth. Burden say, you say it, the Lord gonna get you. He's gonna hold you accountable. Huh? He's got his ears on you. He sees you, right? The burden is heavy. Didn't I tell y'all that? Other folks can get away with it. But you can't get away with it. Why? Because you know too much. You done sold yourself over to the Lord Jesus. Now you got a burden on side of you. What burden? The burden of holiness. One writer calls it the cross. The cross, you got to carry it, right? I know sometimes we want to share it. Well, when you got to do it, well, they can't do what I got to do because they ain't sold themselves over to Jesus yet. But you have. You have given yourself over to the Lord Jesus. And now you must carry the burden. So saying, people be saying that, I just don't understand why stuff ain't working out right for me because you done sold yourself over to Jesus. It's not going to work out right for you until you get yourself where you need to be at. You got to go back to that first word in the plan of salvation. What is that first word? Repent. Repent means to stop wrong. Stop the wrong thinking. You need to make a change in your behaviors, right? When? You need to do it now. You need to get in a hurry and make the necessary changes, right? That's the truth. Oh, yeah, that's the truth, saints. Lord, first word in salvation is repent. Repent and then what? Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. That's why you thank the Lord for Peter. Preaching that very first sermon in the New Testament church. He told them, you crucified both Lord and Christ. Said when they heard that, they were pricked in their heart. Said, what shall we do? Peter did not bite his tongue. He did not dance around it. Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you have, in the name of Jesus Christ. Not to show the world that you believe. Huh? Not to show Jesus you believe. Jesus said to do it for what? For the remission. For the remission or for the removal of what? That's the truth. That's why you can go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ without a witness, no way around. You just need somebody that's been called by Jesus to do the baptizing. Huh? You need somebody that's been called by Jesus. That's authorized. Huh? Authorized to take you down in the water in the name of Jesus. They can't sprinkle you. They can't hose you down. They got to dip you down under the water. Why? Because you need to be buried. Huh? You need to be buried in the name of Jesus Christ. When you die in the water, you ask God, I ain't going to be able to breathe no more. No. You got to die. Huh? You got to bring an end to who you are, right? You get down up under that water in the name of Jesus Christ. The name turns that water into blood. Colossians says an operation takes place. Huh? What kind of an operation? A blood transfusion. What kind of a blood? He removes sin. Huh? It's a real quick process, but he removes sin from out of you and he puts his blood in you, right? That's why the Lord say, now when I see the blood, huh? I'll pass over. I won't bring you into condemnation. Huh? Why? Because I see the blood. Huh? The Lord said, I know my sheep. Huh? Come on. What are you talking about? He knows his sheep. He see the blood on him. Huh? Can't nobody pluck you out of the hand of Jesus? Go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift. Huh? The gift. The gift. Huh? Meaning you can't work for it. It's got to be given to you. Huh? That's why you can't come and tell me. Sometimes I be listening to folks that be coming tell me, I just keep my mind on Jesus. I just read my word all day long. I just tell myself, you ain't trying to prove nothing to me. I ain't got the gift. You need to prove yourself to Jesus. And you need to see when you are in error. Once you come to the place of sacrifice and you don't receive the Holy Ghost, something is out of place. Huh? Something is out of place in your life. Why? Because there's no reason why you should not be filled. Why? Because you're calling on the name. Salvation is in the name, right? You got a sincere heart and your mind is right. You won't even have to call Jesus Lord. I'm serious. If you got a sincere heart and your mind is right, the minute you start to say Jesus, he will take control of your tongue.
Thank you, Jesus.
But when you still struggling with yourself, that's why you tarry for so long. Because you still in yourself. Huh? But when that man denies himself and he puts his mind on Jesus, when he begins to realize the Lord ain't got to come from nowhere. He said, I'm at your heart's door knocking. Huh? If any man hear my voice, what is his voice? It's his word, right? If you just hear the word, right? And do what? Open the door. Jesus said, I will come into him. Huh? See, the Holy Ghost is Jesus coming into you. He ain't coming in and going back out. Scripture says he's coming in to live with you. Huh? And he ain't coming in to sit still. He want to move. Oh, yes, he does. He want to get all in your hands, right? One writer said he want to walk up and down inside of you. Jesus is not a dead God. He is alive. He wants to walk up and down inside of you. He wants to quicken you. He wants to move you, in other words, to let you know you have passed from death to life. Huh? That's true. Some say he'll take a member of your body that you cannot control. A member of your body that can be two-faced. Huh? A member of your body that says one minute you'll be blessing, the next minute you'll be cursing. One writer said it ought not to be. Huh? Come on, it ought not to be. A fountain don't bring forth both sweet and bitter at the same time. It's either one or the other, right? Why you got to really have the Holy Ghost inside of you. Huh? Holy Ghost won't let you be comfortable saying things that are not like him. Thinking things that are not like him. You know it. I was sharing with the saints when we were down in Maryland. You know when you got things that are swimming in your head that are not like Jesus. And you need the Holy Ghost to bring that stuff under subjection to it. Huh? You can't just say, oh, Jesus knows my heart. Yes, he does know your heart. Break your heart down, Jesus. Jesus, your heart is wicked. It's desperately wicked. Huh? Who can know it? He said, I, the Lord, know it, right? Your heart's got a desperation for wickedness. And the only one that can give you a clean heart is the Lord Jesus. That's why David said, Lord, create in me a what a clean heart. And renew a what a right spirit within me, right? Come on, saints, that's truth. That's why I love it. Go over to Hebrews, and I'm going to close it out. Hebrews chapter number 4 and 2. Keep it in your mind that if the gospel is hid, it is hid unto them that are lost, whom the God of this world have done what? Blinded the minds of them that believe not. Why does he blind their minds? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should do what? Shine unto them. He doesn't want Jesus to be in you. Huh? That devil just wants to do everything he can do to keep Jesus from being in you. And when he gets in you, he doesn't want Jesus to function inside of you. What did I say? Hebrews what? 4:2. This is what you were talking about, sister. We were talking about that rest. You look at 4:1. Remember, they could not get into the rest because of unbelief. And who do you think the unbelief was coming from? It was coming from Satan himself. He just doesn't want you to believe in Jesus. Believe in everything else but the Lord Jesus. It's amazing. It's amazing how people that do not know Jesus can win your trust. Huh? But then you struggle with following those that are preaching to you Jesus. Huh? Isn't that amazing? People that do not know Jesus, you trust them with everything inside of you. They tell you it's going to rain. You take an umbrella out. You change your whole plans. And you don't know that man from the man in the moon. They don't know no Jesus. But then someone telling you, you need to stop living wrong and start living right. You say, he don't know what he's talking about. All he's doing is picking on me. I know you. And you know me, right? Last I checked, I'm trying to help. Watch for your soul. Read Hebrews 4:1. Let you go. Let you go. Yeah.
That's a promise being left out.
What is the promise? To go back with Jesus. We need to be serious, saints. Lest the promise to go back with the Lord is left to who? Us. We can enter into the rest of Jesus. In other words, getting out of this body that is sown in death and putting on a glorified body. A body that doesn't have to fear death any longer. Doesn't have to fear pain, huh? Sorrow. That's what that glorified body is like. No more of that. No more of that. No more. That's a promise that's being left for you to enter into it. What does the rest of it say?
And it says, if any of you should seem to come short.
Ah, that's right.
Unto us was the gospel preached.
Yeah, who was it preached to? Yes, truth.
As well as unto them.
It's some other folk that the gospel was preached to, too. But the difference between them and you is you believed it. Keep going.
But the word preached did not profit.
See what I'm talking about? That's why you got to be very careful about when you hear what the Lord is speaking to your hearts and your minds. Because you want that word to do what? Profit inside of you. You don't want that word to fall on a deaf ear. Huh? Or a hard heart. Or a rebellious mind. Or, I ain't got time for that attitude. Huh? Because that word is not going to do what? It's not going to profit you nothing. Huh? Come on. Jesus said himself in the Gospels, I've come to do what? Save you. But if you reject this word, I'm not going to judge you right now. Why? Because I came to do what? Save you. But this very word that you reject is going to judge you in the end, right? Read the rest of it. That's right. That's right. So what do you need to do when you hear the word? You need to mix it with some faith. You need to say, Lord, even though you can't see it, you say, well, Jesus, just because you said it, I'm going to take you at your word. Huh? That's the truth. Stuff get a little hard and difficult. You can't see your way out of it. But you got to believe that the Lord say he will deliver you if you just trust him. And what do I say? Lean not to what? Your own understanding. He will do what? Direct your path. You commit your way unto him, he'll bring that thing to pass, won't he? You just learn how to do your part. Faith is being able to trust Jesus even though you cannot see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Why would you hope for something that you already see? But if you hope for that which you do not see, then you with patience will do what? Wait for it, right? That's why we can tell you emphatically to stay down there and call on the name of Jesus until you are endued with power from on high. Say, Elder Scott, I don't feel anything. Stay down there and call on the name of Jesus. Listen to what his word is saying to you. Huh? His word will speak to you. The Lord knows everyone's condition. He knows right where everyone is at spiritually. And he knows how to give you a word to bring you where you need to be at. Only thing you need to do is what? Listen. And mix what you hear with faith, right? Don't mix it with doubt, but mix it with what?
Faith.
Mix it with faith. Do what the Lord tells you to do. Stop fighting it. Stop being rebellious. Stop adding your thoughts, your ideas, your comprehension to it. Huh? Say, well, it's because I ain't got no faith. I'm struggling to believe. Be like that man was in the scripture. Lord, I believe. Help thou my what? My unbelief. You know where I am struggling at in my faith. Jesus, I need your help. And Jesus will help you. All you got to do is just ask him, right? Trust y'all got something out the word? Hide the Lord's word in your heart.